So now we need to be very clear what Jesus is saying here in the Gospels, particularly what he is not saying. Jesus is not saying, I have come to be a nice moral teacher, and whether you follow that moral law or not doesn't really matter because everyone gets to go to heaven anyway. He's not saying that. Jesus is not saying, I've come to bring the good news, but now that I'm here, actually it looks like secularism is doing a pretty good job, so we'll just let that go and follow that instead. Not saying that. Jesus is not saying, I've come so that you may all be scared and feel weak and helpless and hide within your Christian communities like a little Christian ghetto. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I've come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were blazing already. There are a few moments in the Gospels where you can get a glimpse of the heart of God as clearly as you can here. To get an insight into what is the passion in the heart of Jesus. He's not indifferent. He's not saying, yeah, do whatever you want. I don't really care. This is God driven, passionate, saying, I want to cast fire upon the earth. Not sometime, not whenever. But I'm desperate to see this take place. You know, how I wish that it were already ablaze. The question that always disturbs me is, what would the world look like if Christians actually lived their faith? If we, just here, however many of us are here in this church, if we actually lived our faith, what would the world look like? If I lived my faith, as I say, it's a very personal question, it disturbs me every day. If I actually lived this, what would the world look like? Jesus is talking here about something which is going to transform the whole world. He has a vision for the world. He has a vision for what humanity could be, for what society could be. What would happen if we lived that? If we were captured by that? If we allowed ourselves to be set on fire? What would happen? It's so easy for us to sit here critical and blaming and complaining about everything. Oh, did you read that in the paper? Did you see that on the news last night? Oh, if only people would start turning away from their sin. If only we would start living our faith. You know, what would happen if we actually lived as a community? The vision of God of actually being a communion. The church not just being a bunch of individuals who rock up to Mass and hope to get to heaven one day, but a group of people actually united in the Holy Spirit, living as a family, concerned for each other, laying our lives down for each other, reaching out to the poor, holding up the weakest and most broken amongst us as being the most honored and the most valuable. What would happen if we lived a life of absolute worship of God, not worshiping in ourselves and our own self-will, but actually desiring to devote all to God in thanksgiving because he has died for us? What would the world look like? My guess is we wouldn't have much to complain about. If we actually allowed ourselves to be set aflame with this love, if we actually desire to open our eyes and see the heart of Christ aflame with love, yes, we talk about it. You come here every 7 p.m. Mass. You hear us rant on about this. God loves you. God loves you. And I know you get sick of it. But what would happen if you actually allowed it to sink in? If you actually allowed it to go beneath the surface and let yourself be loved? If you could actually gaze upon the cross, not just as, you know, that guy on the cross, but actually gaze upon that and see how much you were loved? What would happen if your heart could be set aflame by that reality? I dare say you wouldn't be looking for love elsewhere as much as we do. You know, we would probably find ourselves feeling quite content with ourselves in our life, because we'd actually know we're loved. This is the question that disturbs me, that for all that we do, for all the time we spend here in church, there's some big blockage that we don't allow it to impact us. It's like we come here and we sing songs saying, God, transform us, God, change us. But deep down, we've got the door firmly bolted shut. I don't really want to change. I don't really want my life to move. What would happen if it did? What would happen if your life was actually set aflame with the love of God? How would your world change? And this kind of leads me to the other question that always disturbs me, particularly when I read this passage in Luke 12. Of why don't we want it to change? You know, why don't we want our lives to be set aflame with the love of God? Once again, we call ourselves here a charismatic community, open to the Holy Spirit. Why don't we allow ourselves to be taken over by the Spirit? You know, what is the blockage within us to really submit our lives to the Holy Spirit and say, God, have your will. Do what you want with me. Do with me as you did with the apostles, with the great saints. I don't know about you, but I'm aware there's a very big resistance to really honestly say that. To give my life over to this grace. Why is that? My guess is because we're actually kind of content. We actually kind of like the world as it is. Now, this is where it gets all a bit disturbing. I was reading a thing just before Mass. I was over the presbytery flicking through the newspaper, as I often want to do. There's an article that caught my eye. It was about talking about Egypt and all the trouble there at the moment. And this commentator just made this comment which struck me, saying that a person can't just walk into a country and become a dictator. They can only take over a country because the people give them permission, whether consciously or not. And the words he used, he said that people create their own servitude. They fashion their own chains to enslave themselves. Because there's something which this person promises that they want. They're going to get cheap food. So yeah, enslave us. Take over us. Take our freedom. As long as we get cheap petrol. We like that. Happens all the way around the world. And I dare say we're caught up in something similar. That when we're faced with this question, what is the difference between the Christian vision and the vision our world is currently living? We can look with such great optimism at our current world, and it is an amazing world. It has many great things going for it. But I dare say we can cling on to that and almost allow an ideology which is very much against Christianity. It's very much the opposite of what Christ was proclaiming. We allow it to happen because it benefits us. For the sake of pleasure, for the sake of entertainment, for the sake of autonomy and freedom, yes, we'll let all these horrible things take place. We'll turn a blind eye to them. Yes, we'll allow there to be an ideology in our world which is ripping families apart, which is causing young people to kill themselves, which is causing men to drink themselves stupid and basically break up families. We'll turn a blind eye to that because we have fun, because there's easy pleasure, there's easy entertainment. Now, this is probably sounding very harsh and critical, and you're probably thinking I should have gone to the morning mass. But I want to put this out there, because what Jesus is saying here is something, it demands a response. And I'm talking personally here, because these are the questions that disturb me every day, and I hope they disturb you. Why is the world not taken over for Christ? After 2,000 years, why are we living a vision which is so different to what Christ desired? Why are we, as Christians, allowing it to happen? Why do we turn a blind eye when we have 100,000 children every year being killed in abortion in this country? When we have one of the highest suicide rates in the world? When we have over 50% of marriages falling apart? Yeah, when we have chronic mental illness, depression, anxiety. And we can come here feeling like scared chickens. We can come and gather here just trying to make ourselves feel good, hoping that we're not the next one to be hit. Is that what Jesus wanted? Did he want us to sit back and think, well, secularism's doing a good job, we'll let it be. We'll just come here and live our faith privately. Was that why Christ became human? Was that why he died on the cross? Or did he desire something else? What lies within the heart of Jesus? That is the question. What is the passion within the heart of God? Because at the end of the day, it's not our choice. We're not talking some relativistic thing here where I'll make up Christianity the way I want it to be. I think God wants us to just be nice and have fun, so we'll believe that. At the end of the day, we need to discover, what does God want? What is the passion in the heart of Jesus? Allow yourself to be captured by that. Otherwise, we're following a fairy tale. You see, as Christians, we've been given the greatest gift ever. You have been given the Holy Spirit in your baptism. You have been given a share in the very life of Christ. Not just to make you feel good, but so that you could basically live with the very power and life of God. That is the vision. The reason why God gave you the Holy Spirit was so that you could be Him in the world. Not just to be nice, not just to be good. It's much more so that you could be God. So that you could live with a supernatural life, a supernatural love, a supernatural ability to bring the good news. As Christians, you are meant to be spiritual aggressors, not scared chickens. If we actually opened ourselves to this vision, if we actually opened ourselves to the power of the Spirit, the world would change within a generation. It's the reality. And one of the great saints, I think it was St. Philip Neri, he said, "Give me 10 men who are completely detached and I'll convert the world. Give me 10 men who are prepared to actually accept this gift of the Spirit and the world will change, the whole world." If we just here, just a few of us here tonight, would be prepared to actually gaze upon the cross, to see the heart of Christ, the passion in his heart, if we could be captured by that and say, "Yes, Lord, send us. I submit my whole life to this vision, to the power of the Spirit. Do with me as you will." The whole world would change. "I've come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were blazing already." Now, this is where we need to look seriously at our faith and make a decision. Now, some of you have heard me tell this story before, so I apologize. Bear with me. Take the example of a young man, a guy by the name of Bob. Bob's a very normal, very simple man, lives in a very simple house, has a very simple faith. He tries to do the best he can. Whenever he saves up a bit of money, he goes and helps a few people because he likes to be good. You know, we like Bob. Now, one day, Bob is cleaning his simple house with his simple vacuum cleaner. And as he's doing so, he moves the couch back to try and get some of the dust that's behind there. And he notices for the first time, he's never seen this before, but there's a little trapdoor behind his couch. He's a bit curious. What lies beneath this trapdoor? So he wrenches it open, and there's a stairwell going down into an unknown basement. Never knew this was under his house before. So he grabs a candle, goes down into the darkness, and as he gets down into the basement, his eyes are open to this glorious vision. There is a huge basement under his house. filled with gold. $14 billion worth of gold under his simple little house. His house is not quite as simple as he once imagined. Now, can you imagine what's ticking through Bob's mind at this point? His mortgage will disappear in a fleeting moment. Every bill and debt he's ever had to worry about will just disappear. For that moment, he thinks life is glorious. But then suddenly the reality kicks in. If he takes hold of this wealth, his simple little life will disappear. He will no longer be simple little Bob in a simple little house. Suddenly he'll have responsibility. Suddenly people will be turning to him asking for help. People expect him to do great things and to bring about a change in the world. And so he's now stuck in this dreadful decision. If he takes hold of this gold and actually acknowledges that it's there, life will never be the same again. The life as he knows it will disappear in a moment. We never know what Bob decides. Whether he closes the door and locks the trap door and puts the couch back over it and says, well, back to a simple life. Pretend it never existed. You know, that's us. That is the wealth, that is the glory, that is the power that dwells within you by virtue of your baptism. The grace of the Holy Spirit, the whole power of God is there in the basement of your soul. Do you have the courage to look within and see what that could do? What could actually happen if you allowed that Spirit to take over your life? What could happen if you allowed that to transform you and then to flow through you into the world and bring transformation to all that you know, everyone you've ever met? But this is the thing. We face the same dilemma. If you take hold of your faith, if you take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit completely, your simple life will disappear. You will no longer just be simple little Christian sitting in the pew on a Sunday trying to be good. You might just become the next St. Francis Xavier. You might just become the next St. Paul. You might just become the sort of person they talk about in generations to come, who has brought influence and left a legacy of hope. Do you want that? Are you prepared to stand before God and say, use me. Here I am. Send me. If you desire to bring fire to the earth, start with me. Set fire to my heart. Send me out so that I can bring a change, I can bring a transformation. All you need to do is say yes. There is nothing more that we have to do. It's to simply give permission to God and to say, my life is yours. Send me. But it starts by looking at his heart. Gaze upon the cross. Look deeply at the heart of Christ and hear the passion that is in him. Hear the yearning, the longing he has for his people who are dying, who are suffering, who are weighed down in this darkness. Look deeply at the heart of Christ. Allow that to move you. Allow it to move you so much that you'll give everything and ask to be sent.